Okay, and welcome to another backstage interview at Cropperty 2018. It's raining now, and I've got to have a little word with Darren, actually. Yeah, I sound drunk already. Darren, because he's booked loads of interviews. We've had a bumper year, and we spoke to lots of different people. They're getting later in the evening, mate, and I'm getting a few beers under. So, do you know what I mean? These interviews might go downhill from here in, I'm not sure. But we are lucky, because we're sitting here with my neighbour, because I'm from Kent, and we've got another Kentish man here, and he's just come off stage a little while ago, done a blistering set. It's Will Varley. Hello, how are you?
Hello, very good. You never know, the interviews might go uphill as well.
Well, they sometimes can with us. We are quite legendary for our interviews with people like the Pete Brogferries and things like that, the off the cuff and things like that. But it's lovely to be here in the dry, isn't it? Let's face it, you know, we can and chat warm, away yeah. And yeah. Nice and warm. But it's good, because you're not the first Folking.com Folking Award winner. We had this week, talking to him this year. But you're another one, aren't you? Was it the Rising Star of 2016?
I believe it was.
Yeah. It was, I can confirm that. It was 2016 Rising Star Award.
Rising Star Award.
What happened?
Yeah. I don't know what happened there. Yeah.
It was all going so well.
Yeah. But you were telling us you used it to get yourself a visa to America. So
I did,
cool.
Yeah. It was very useful on that
but
front.
The interesting thing about the public voted for that, that was a public vote. We actually picked like the nominations. So we picked five in each category that we think are all deserving winners in our eyes. And then we throw it open to the public vote, and you won that year. You won the public vote for that. So it's become like.
Well, thank you to the readers and listeners of Folking.com.
So you could be the new Folking.com.
I could be the Folking.com Falling Star of 2019.
Yeah,
if I play my cards right.
There's a 25-year-old with us actually that said, "Oh, please put a word in." I said he's just had a kid. I mean, you know, it's probably not a good idea, but perhaps it is.
There's always time to put a word in.
Yeah, so Sophie sends them up.
Okay, cool.
Oh, well, yeah. I've got to say, you played with the band tonight, and I've not seen you before, so to me, it was kind of like, you've got a band, but I know you do a lot of stuff on your own, but it was great out there, blistering, tight band you've got there.
Yeah.
Where did you get them from? How did you find
them? They were all, basically, I met them on a deal.
All right.
In Kent, yeah. In my hometown, we started a record label a few years ago, and they're kind of all affiliated with that, Smugglers Records. One of them's from Belfast, but he moved to Deal a few years ago. It's a great little scene in the town, and yeah, just incredible musicians just walking around.
It's brilliant.
I met him in a car park in Lidl.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. Because you've got Folk on the Pier down there, that's quite a big thing, isn't it? Folk on the Pier, is it?
They do that, yeah. Some trad stuff, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
That's good fun. Yeah, well, so you're all friends and you've all been living down locally? So?
Yeah, we've been hanging out and drinking together for years, and it's only the last year or so that we've done the band, but it kind of feels like we've been playing together for a long time.
So I suppose being mates as well, it helps gel.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right. They play in a few different bands together. You know, Cocos Lovers at all?
Yeah, I know.
So they play in that band together. And so, you know, they do like a Remains of Johnny. They do a Johnny Cash tribute band called The Remains of Johnny Cash, which is great. So, they, you know, those boys know what's going on. So when I rocked up, it was fairly straightforward.
Deb Zell from... you mentioned Deb.
Absolutely,
Well, she's a big fan of them, so...
Yeah,
I think they've played down there quite a few times.
Yeah, they're great bands. They really are.
Which is good. But is there a diversity to your songwriting and also to your performance as well? You know, you get the full band thing, but also you're known for your solo shows.
Yeah.
For some of the sort of deep songwriting that you've actually written, like The Man That Fell to Earth. So talk us through really how that came about.
Well, I started in open mics and folk clubs and that sort of thing when I was about 13, 14. And for me, the key to getting across, you know, as a kid in a busy room of people and an open mic in Hammersmith, you know, when everyone's just finished work, is about, you know, changing your dynamic as much as possible and also sort of trying to just blast through a little bit, through the kind of noise, you know, trying to get through. And so I've always been interested in that kind of light and dark and, you know, loud and quiet. And I guess the band is just an extension of that.
Yeah. But that song in particular, The Man Who Fell to Earth.
The Man Who Fell to Earth, yeah.
So, I know, obviously, a little bit of the background to it, but do you want to
expand
on that?
It's a chat. That song is based on a particular guy called Jose Matata. It's actually quite a common occurrence in the flight path of Heathrow. And it happens every couple of years, all year, you know. And essentially what happens is people are trying to enter the UK and they hide in the undercarriage of aeroplanes, and when the wheels come down just out just before the plane lands, their bodies fall out of the undercarriage and are found on the streets of London. And there was one, about a year after I wrote that song, there was one, two bodies were found on top of the Sainsbury's building. And for me, with the whole conversation about immigration and all of this sort of stuff being so pertinent with the Brexit thing at the moment, for me, that image of this young guy, 19, lying on one of the richest streets in the world, having almost made it in, for some reason, that for me just sums up the whole thing, that image, you know. Often with a song, I'll write stuff about things that stick with me, or stuff that I don't understand, stuff that kind of resonates. And that image, when I read about it, really did resonate with me.
And you're really connecting that imagery with people. I mean, you know, in many of the press articles that I've read, you know, there's been various things banded around, you know, like the new Bob Dylan, you know, in that sort of songwriting, you know, ability to really get under the skin.
Yeah, spiky songs.
Of what's actually happening. So, have you always felt that way? I mean, is it how did that?
Always written songs from when I was able to speak. I've kind of tried to rhyme the words together, And I've always just written about stuff that scares me, or stuff that I can't get out of my head. You know, if something enters my mind and I can't sort of compute it, often I write a song as a way of computing it.
Yeah, we were talking to our old friend Ralph Patel about that precisely. It's very much similar to what you're saying about writing songs, and I write songs as well. It's usually something that's spiky, that kicks you off, something that makes you want to write a song, and then you go and do it. I mean, the song that you played, the Growing Up song, was great as well. You did. I thought that was a lovely thing. The whole circle as it all goes round.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very interested in sort of super narratives. You know, I've got a song that's the history of the world. You know, it starts beginning time, ends now. And King for a King, yeah, growing up from birth to death. And The Man Who Fell to Earth is actually a song which it tells the story of about 30 seconds. The whole song happens over the course of 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So the idea with that was to try and create a sort of super narrative that happened in a very short amount of time. I think for me that's always, not always, but often with a song, it's a challenge to me. You know, I sort of think, well, can I write a song which is a history of the world in 4 minutes? Is it possible? You know, will it work? And I, you know.
So those two songs that you actually finished with, which is obviously King for a King and Seize the Night, they were on the advert soundtrack.
Seize the Night was on Postcards from Mastermind.
Oh, of course it was, okay. So that.
But yeah, King for a King was on advert soundtrack.
So when did that come out?
That came out in 2010, or 2011, I think.
2011, yeah. Because that wasn't the first album you...
Yeah, no, advert soundtrack's first album, 2011.
Was there a TV on the front of that?
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah,
yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's the first time we came across it.
Yes, yeah.
We've run a sort of feature on what you've done, and we've had, I think, Di Jeffries, our editor, and one of our main reviewers. I'm sure he actually reviewed.
Right, okay, cool. The first album.
I think he did, yeah.
Yeah, that record, I'd never done anything like that before, and there was no label involved. We called ourselves a record label. It was just friends, you know. We said, well, we're a record label now.
It's the way to go with it these days,
yeah,
anyway.
Let's just make an album and pretend we're a record label, and so we did, you know. And in the first week, that album sold 14 copies, you know. And now, you know, 7 years later, it sold tens of thousands of copies.
But it
was a very slow start. Yeah. but they were wonderful times. We were rolling around in a big red van, you know, playing wherever it was and selling records out the back of this van. You know, it was great.
When do you get to the stage where you stop counting them, like, you know, and you go, you know, you get out to, I'm going to say, 7,000, 8,000. When do you stop? Like, I can't keep up with it anymore.
Never. I'm still counting.
Next week after Crockley.
Exactly. I just had a baby. I'm still counting the sales. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, there you are.
And that's obviously on Spirit of Mini, which is the latest release, isn't it? So, which was that, that was earlier this year, wasn't it?
It was, exactly that, in February.
Yeah. And then the tour that's coming up, which is,
yes.
Is it October? We've got
it's,
the dates.
Yeah, it's kind of October, November, UK tour, and then I'm in Europe in, just before that as well. So, yeah, it's a sort of fairly exhaustive.
Is that with the band as well, or just you?
It's going to be solo, that tour.
All right, okay.
Yeah, I did the band tour earlier this year, and then just felt like this time just going back out on my own and just keeping it fresh for myself, you know. Yeah. I think I'm very sort of aware that, you know, you can never get too comfortable in what you're doing, you know, whether that's the song, kind of type of songs you're writing, or the lineup on stage. I always want to be on my toes myself. Yeah. If I'm too used to, if I too know what I'm doing too much, then I start to get bored.
I suppose that's the death of the songwriter, isn't it? Complacency.
Exactly right, yeah. So, you know, we did the band thing, it was great, we got it really tight, and, you know, Rock Ready Today was, for me, the pinnacle of that. You know, it was a band show in front of 10,000 people or more, and it was amazing. And so now the idea of going out on my own is slightly terrifying. So that's what I'm
that must be amazing.
That's what you're talking
about. That must be amazing for you, though, coming here with your mum and dad. You know, all those years ago, and actually, you can't compute that, really.
No, I'd never at that time would ever have dreamt that. I'd be sitting here with you guys backstage.
Fantastic.
Well, long may I continue, mate, and we look forward to the tour. We've got the dates, as Darren says. Are you doing any local Down Deal anywhere we can play?
I am. I'm playing
where we can
Deal.
Pop and see you.
There's only six tickets left in Deal.
Oh,
so snap them up. My mum's bought them all, you see.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah, that's the way to go.
But I'm playing in Canterbury in September.
Right, I'll have two of them then. Yeah, we'll get them sorted out.
But thanks for talking as well.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much.
I might continue, mate. Love to see you.
Support on folking.com.
You're most welcome. Most welcome, mate. Thanks very much. Cheers.